You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It is that most wonderful of days. It is more than the usual. This is not just Friday. This is Friday of Labor Day weekend. It's hit it, Boomer. Just Friday, we got. That was awesome. He just piled on all the sound effects. Just
might
like
as well just throw all of them.
They
in
were just
all
layered, layered sound effects. That's awesome. All right, yeah. Welcome to Friday and Friday of the Labor Day weekend, indeed. And that was, by the way, Boomer on the board. Hey, bro.
Hey, Friday. Hey. Yes.
It's like woo. Yeah. What did you just have there? You had applause, you had explosions, and you had
explosion, the whoop whoops.
I kind of like that, to be honest with you.
Just kept going pushing.
All right, we got a great show laid on for you. 3:30 today, State Representative Susan DuBose is going to be calling in. She recently wrote a piece that basically says it's time for the Alabama Library Association to disassociate itself from the National Library Association. We're going to get her perspective on that in conjunction with one of our dippers. So that's State Representative Susan DuBose giving us her thoughts about libraries at 3:30. And then at 4 o'clock, Stephanie Smith, who has not been on enough lately. She's been absentee for, you know, they got family stuff. I get it. But anyway, 4 o'clock today, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, will be on the air with us. So stay tuned for that one. And then I got a triple dipper, bar none. Hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, oh God, it's ugly. It's ugly, y'all. It's getting uglier by the minute. Border madness. Do we even have a southern border? And I don't ask that rhetorically. I mean, just you look at it and think, this is nuts. Well, it's not just nuts on the southern border. It's nuts about what it's doing to communities all over this nation. And I may not like the policies of places like New York, but I am struggling to find what Biden can think is good about what is happening with the border madness that his administration has created. So that's number one, triple dipper, border madness. Number two, in conjunction with our conversation with Representative Susan DuBose, we'll have a third installment of what I'm calling the library wars. You know, we had the whole thing with in Madison with Kirk Cameron. He was on the show, and we had the opportunity to to talk to folks in and around the event, Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty. And then, you know, we just find out there's libraries here in Alabama that are really intent on having as much just adult garbage as they can in the kids section, and they believe it's their right to do so. Well, we're going to talk about it. Why are libraries a war ground, battleground now? Well, they are. Library wars, number two of the triple dipper. And then number three, you know, we have just in the last few weeks seen one state representative indicted and resigned from the legislature. Another one just resigned yesterday based upon ethics violations. And then another one, his assistant was just indicted for money laundering. And it just keeps seeming to steamroll. Well, we're going to talk about it. I got the whole section there that's labeled, that ain't right. And we'll talk about what Alabama's ethics laws are and the fact that there are legislators thinking it's time to amend them. I don't know. Is it? That ain't right is what I've got that whole section labeled. All right, you guys, let me jump over to my comments here. So just a reminder, Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all over North Alabama. They got places like Gadsden, Atala, Anniston, five locations in the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care, they are pretty amazing. I mean, this is who I use, Charlene and I both. If we need something, even on the weekends, because they're open 7 days a week, Southern Immediate Care, the facilities are always clean, the staff is great. Let me just tell you, you go check them out. I think you'll enjoy it. And they are the sponsor every day of the Right Side Way monologue, and we appreciate it. So here's the deal. You know, monuments, statues, engraved buildings. Me personally, I love seeing the history of our nation, like in the physical sense. My time when I was in D.C. at the Pentagon never got old. I love taking time to go walk through the amazing history, try to find the little things that were not always obvious, like a small plaque on the side of an old house or a historic marker tucked away under some trees. It's also amazing, too, when you realize how many historic buildings and monuments actually give credit to God. Well, in that vein, welcome to the first day of September. Today, September 1st, 2023, marks 271 years to the day that Liberty Bell was delivered to Philadelphia in the year 1752. Now, I love catching moments like that in history. It's just, you know, sort of unique to be able to picture some event in history as marked by the same calendar day that I stand in now. Somehow it like brings the old events to life to me. So let's walk down a bit of history lane just for a minute. So the bell that we now refer to as the Liberty Bell, it was originally ordered by the Pennsylvania Assembly. It was to hang in the belfry of the State House. And it came from the Whitechapel Foundry in England. And while history does have some discrepancies in the story, it's generally understood that the first bell that was delivered in September 1, 1752, actually cracked on the very first ring. So two Philadelphia foundry workers, a guy named John Pass and another one named John Stowe, they were tasked to melt down the original bell and recast it. And they allegedly added some additional copper to the casting to make it less brittle, and this time the bell came out with their names cast upon it, Pass and Stowe, Philadelphia, and Roman numerals that signified they completed the new casting in 1753. But on this casting, they went one step further, and they added the cast verse from Leviticus 25:10 along the top edge of the bell. And Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Proclaim liberty. I'll tell you, I think it's actually kind of fitting that the original bell came from England, cracked, was recast in Philadelphia by native sons who branded it as a proclaimer of liberty, because just two decades later, that bell rang to gather people to the State House that we now call Independence Hall. And it tolled for the convening of the First Continental Congress in 1774. It tolled for the Battle of Lexington and Concord in 1775. And in July of 1776, the Liberty Bell tolled to gather people to Independence Hall to hear a reading of the new Declaration of Independence. The verse cast on the side of the bell said to proclaim liberty, and that's exactly what that bell did. In October of 1777, when the British occupied Philadelphia, the bell was taken down. It was hidden under the floorboards of the Zion Reformed Church over in Allentown, Pennsylvania. They didn't want the British to melt it down and make cannonballs. The bell was then restored to Independence Hall after the Revolutionary War, and it continued to see regular service. It had an entire term of service of 90 years. In the mid-1800s, though, it cracked during a ceremonial ringing, and it had to be removed, but it became even more of a symbol of liberty at that point. After the American Civil War, the Liberty Bell traveled all over the country as a thing designed to help promote unity. It was also a symbol of the abolitionist movement to end slavery. In the early 1900s, it became the symbol for the women's suffrage movement to push for women to be given the right to vote. And to this day, on every 4th of July at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, children who are direct descendants of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence, they come to the Liberty Bell Center, and they're allowed to tap the bell 13 times in honor of the patriots from the original 13 colonies. I mean, I just love all that. I've always been a history buff. But one of the things that gets me, though, when you look at that story, is in the whole recounting of the Liberty Bell, is the fact that it has a verse from the Bible cast on it. I mean, I knew that it had a statement about liberty, but I had no recollection of ever realizing that it came from Scripture. Another part of history, though, that people don't realize is actually how many places in our nation's capital are engraved with verses from the Bible. Like the Washington Monument. This is cool. That tower of freestanding masonry, it's covered in Bible verses. There's a Bible enclosed in a time capsule in the monument's cornerstone. And inscribed way up on the top on the east face of the capstone are the Latin words, Laus Deo, or praise be to God. Many of the 36,000 marble and granite stones that are used to build the Washington Monument are inscribed with Bible verses or references to God. Over in the Library of Congress, there are verses inscribed on the wall like Proverbs 4:7, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding." The U.S. Capitol building, behind the speaker's rostrum in the House chamber, has the words, "In God we trust," and many of the historic paintings in the main rotunda are depictions of America's Christian heritage. In the White House, one of the fireplaces located in the state dining room has what is known as the Adams Prayer Mantle. It contains a prayer inscribed on it by John Adams, second president of the United States, and it says, quote, "I pray heaven to bestow the best of blessings on this house and all those that shall hereafter inhabit it. May none but honest and wise men ever rule under this roof." You can find inscriptions and quotes and displays all over the nation's capital and in other foundational locations throughout the country in which God is honored and verses from the Bible are memorialized. Now, there's a push these days, though, to detach faith from history. The progressive left hates the idea that a loving God exists and that it was evident in the lives of the founders that he was one of their chief motivations. I'm of the belief that we have to know our history. We can't change. We can't change history. History just is. It cannot be undone. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with what was said or done, but you don't have the right, no one does, to erase it. And one of the immutable facts that can be found engraved in marble, painted onto canvas, and cast into the Liberty Bell is that the Bible has been a relevant, inspiring, and reliable source of strength and wisdom and comfort throughout the entire time this nation has had history. The words of the same book were apparently often on the minds of our founding fathers, and personally speaking, I'm glad they were. The other day, in a separate monologue, I talked about the fact that my faith cannot be separated from me. It is through and through. More than once when I was in office, I had someone accuse me of trying to bring my faith into politics. Well, of course I did. It's not separable from the man. And in like manner, the foundation of this nation was built upon an appeal to heaven. And the words from the Bible and the calls to adhere to it are everywhere as evidence. It's part of who we are, like it or not. Me, I like it. So I'll close with the words found to the right of the statue of Thomas Jefferson in the Jefferson Memorial. It's a quote attributed to Jefferson himself. He said, quote, "God gave us life and gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, if you ever get a chance up in D.C., there's the new Museum of the Bible. I say new, it's the last few years, but the Museum of the Bible, one of the coolest things I've ever done, has basically an interactive ride. You get in it, strap you down, you feel like you're flying because it takes you flying through D.C. and it stops every place where there's a verse inscribed on something, and it shows you how many places like what I just read. I didn't even scratch the surface. They're everywhere. And it flies around D.C., and you feel like you're flying, and you get to see them. And it's really pretty humbling when you get down to it. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.